When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them abilities. Today, I mentioned earlier that it's a bit of a birthday for the church. For many, look at the day of Pentecost as the beginning of the actual ministry of the church. Up until this time, it's been Jesus educating, teaching, showing his disciples and his apostles about the good news through his words and by his actions. Those who've been following Jesus from the beginning have seen him perform various ministries and miracles of healing, while at the same time they have heard his message of hope and of love to a people who are living in fear, despair, and in some ways chaos. He has made it clear to them time and time again that God's promise has been fulfilled in him. So now he is preparing to go. He is preparing them for what is to come. In our gospel, he tells them that an advocate will be coming, the advocate of God, the Spirit. And this is another name for the Holy Spirit. And that when Jesus leaves, it will come. She will be there for them to give them what they need to know. Though Jesus has been teaching them, they are not quite ready yet. And so we had the ascension last week, and now here we are. Once again, the disciples and the apostles are gathered in a place. A place of some safety. Yet, when it comes to God, no place is safe. The Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney, who is a biblical scholar of the Old Testament, was sharing various quips that, she was grading papers from essays and exams, and she was sharing some wonderful statements that her students had given. One of them, one of my favorite that stuck out to me, and I think it's you can't come up with a more truer statement about Scripture, is that there is no way to speak safely about the text because the text is dangerous. And realizing that if we really are paying attention, there is no true safety in what Jesus is teaching. He's making it clear that they're going to have to go out into the world. That once the Spirit comes, there's no more hiding. There's no more, we're just being our own little group of people. Once the Spirit comes, you're going to have to leave and go out into the world. And so today, we have the Holy Spirit showing up, finding them in what they think is a safe place. Coming is a mighty wind. coming upon them like tongues of fire, forcing them outside into the world, where it begins to preach the good news in the various languages of the people who are gathered there. Now, Jerusalem is this hub, this place of commerce, along with being a religious city, a place where many Jews come from lands afar. There's a lot of commerce going on there. So you have Jews from the diaspora, as well as Gentiles. And we are told that as the people are watching this spectacle, this whatever it is going on before them, they are hearing these people speaking to them in their own tongues. They hear the message of Christ's good news in words they understand. And many are moved by it. Yet there's always those few who, for whatever reason, do not understand what's going on. And those are the ones who, of course, who accuse the disciples of getting drunk. But as Peter tells them, it's only 9 a.m. in the morning. And tells them, and he begins this eloquent sermon about Jesus and about the good news and about salvation. He moves the hearts of those who are listening to him, bringing many more to Christ. Now, as we know and as we understand, it's not Peter, but God speaking through the Spirit through Peter. Because many times we have been told to go ahead, proclaim the good news, and not to worry about having the words, because the words will be provided for us. All we have to do is have faith. And on that day, Peter's faith is paid off as he proclaims the good news to the crowd around him. Now, Pentecost, like a high school or a college commencement service, marks not an ending, but a beginning. As our young people are graduating from high school in the next month, as many of our college students have already graduated or are in the midst of graduating, as they go through commencement, they're not coming to an end there. They're basically being told it's time for you to go on, to move outside these doors into the world. And this is what's happening to the disciples, and which is happening to us. Now, we are ending today our 50-day celebration of Easter. And on Easter morning, we lit the Paschal candle. And at every service since Easter, the Paschal candle has been burning. Now, today, after this liturgy, after the candles are put out, the Paschal candle will make its journey back to the baptistery to be brought out for baptisms and funerals and weddings and confirmations and other sacraments of the church. Now, for the last few days, it has been for us a reminder of Christ, that light that came into the world. But as the Paschal candle is moved to the back of the church, the flame that it represents continues to burn. just like the hope that Paul was speaking about in Romans. That hope may be unseen, but it's there. And just as we will not see the paschal candle burning, we may not see the risen Christ, but we know Christ is there. And because of that, we know what it is that we are being called to do, and that is to go to the world, to pass along this message of love. Now, yesterday, we had the royal wedding of Henry, Prince of Wales, or better known as Prince Harry, and Meghan Merkel, who are now the, you know, who are now the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. Now, I did not get up to watch the wedding. I figured if there was anything about the wedding I really wanted to see, you know, that's a great thing about living in a digital age, is like, I don't have to get up to watch things. But yesterday, after I got up at a respectable hour, had a decent breakfast, and drank about a half a pot of strong coffee, I did turn on the presiding bishop, the Most Reverend Michael Curry's address, which I'm not sure the difference between an address or a sermon, but you know, the address. And we had our presiding bishop showing, I think, you know, kind of leaving people just sort of, you know, in a daze because I don't think a lot of people knew what they were going to get. I don't think a lot of people in the British aristocracy are used to the African American preaching tradition. And they were especially not prepared, I think, a lot of them, for our presiding bishop, who, you know, if anybody who has ever listened to our presiding bishop, you know, because a lot of my English friends, I love my English friends on Facebook, were talking about how long it was because it was like 13 minutes. I'm saying, no. It's like, you know, generally the presiding bishop is just warming up at 13 minutes. If you ever, and he sort of toned it down, you know, and if anybody is familiar with the, you know, with the African-American preaching tradition, it is a lot more animated. So it's like, I think Bishop Curry took a little bit of mercy on them yesterday. But he spoke about the one thing our bishop has been speaking about since the very beginning. As many of you may know, his famous tag phrase, if it's not about love, it's not about God. Think about that. If it's not about love, it's not about God. Let's say that together. If it's not about love, it's not about God. And he was making it clear that day. It was sort of like a precursor to Pentecost, because his sermon was on love and fire. And through it, he spoke. Someone once said that Jesus began the most revolutionary movement in all of human history, a movement grounded in the unconditional love of God for the world. A movement mandating people to live that love, and in doing so, to change not only their lives, but the very life of the world itself. I am talking about some power, real power, power to change the world. And that's what Jesus was trying to get us to understand the whole time. What he was trying to get his apostles to understand, his disciples, and what he's been trying to get us to understand ever since. that if we truly live, work in love, if we take our ministry outside of these doors into the world will feel the impact. Changes will happen. Now, right now, of course, there's so much tragedy that's happening in the world. This past week, once again, we had horrendous school shooting in Santa Fe High School in Texas, a town that's just been recovering from Hurricane Harvey. And on that day, 8 students and 2 teachers were killed, 10 others at least wounded. And then you have the young man who is the shooter. Who was known to be a person, you know, it's always that thing is afterwards, it's like, oh, you know, we knew there was a problem here. And I don't know, I don't have all the answers. Seems like I have fewer and fewer answers. But I do believe that somehow, that the love of Christ, that the love that God taught us and shared with us, will make a difference somehow in this crisis. This past week, you had a gentleman who went off in a dally in New York, you know, threatening to call, you know, ICE on 2 people speaking Spanish, which has got, you know, here's the thing to remember before you go on a tirade. Just assume that somebody is recording it. And who knows why? I mean, people go through these tirades all the time in different places. They get recorded all the time. But for some reason, this has made an impact on people. And I don't know the gentleman who went off. And it saddens me in many ways that his life has been just basically kind of, because of this action, has been basically, you know, I guess in many ways destroyed. And I'm about thinking to myself, where's love in this? How could love change this kind of behavior that's happening in the world? What happens if more of us stood up and acted not out of vengefulness, but as Martin Luther King talked about, fighting, you know, that, you know, hate doesn't stop hate. That love is what's eventually going to end what's going on here. And how can each and every one of us contribute to this love? How can we be like this light and bring hope to the world? It starts small. It starts with the way that you treat the clerk in the store. It starts on the way that you act when you're on the highway. It starts on how you treat the person who comes into this church on any given Sunday. It starts with the way we each live our lives. That willingness to go out of our way for our neighbor, to stand up for what is right, to share what we know is what God is expecting of us. That first day of Pentecost was only a beginning. It was the start. It's not over yet. I know it's easy at times to throw up our hands. Sometimes it's easy to say, you know, it's no use. But as Jesus showed us, and as many Christians since that time have showed us, love will make a difference and can make a difference. So bring your light into that the world. Be like that fire to clear a path for new growth. And in doing so, bring hope.